produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Greetings, everyone. This is Pastor Thando Nyoni from Johannesburg, South Africa. The name of our program is called Uncede On Air. I would like to greet each and every one of you who's listening through the sound of my voice. You know, as I was meditating and thinking through and wondering which message will I be sharing on today, somehow the message of crossing over was laid in my heart, crossing over to the other side. As you read the word of God in Mark 4, verse 35, it says, that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. That was Jesus Christ speaking to his disciples. This was the time when they got into the boat. This was the time when there was a storm. This was the time when Jesus calmed the storm. But this was the time when Jesus rebuked the disciples for not having faith. What am I saying today? We are crossing over. We have crossed over to the other side. We have entered fully to 2024. Old things have passed away. All the years have passed away. This is a new time. All things have passed away. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, all things have passed away. You are leaving the kingdom of darkness right into the kingdom of light. All things have passed away. It's crossing over to the other side. Mzalwane mntana sekhaya. We are crossing over. It's time to evaluate yourself. Where are you seated? Where are you standing? Where are you positioned? Is it where God needs you to be now? Because let's cross over to the other side. Crossing over to the other side to you, it may mean a new job. It may mean moving into a new home. It may mean getting married. For those little ones who are starting school this year, it's crossing over. Because when you look at the dictionary, when it talks about the word crossover, it's for moving from one point to another, a change of style, a change of position. It's crossing over. What does it mean to cross over for you? The Bible tells us, as we have read already in Mark 4, verse 35, that Jesus Christ, it was evening. How many of us, it was evening, it's still evening in our hearts, it's still evening in our lives. It's evening. Evening means, except so, it's dark. We don't see our way clearly. But the interesting thing that Jesus was with his disciples. In your evening, who are you with? Who do you walk with? Who do you live with? Who do you stay with in your evening? And who speaks with you? It was Jesus who said to his disciples, let's cross over to the other side. Because he's a direction giver. The Bible says, whom they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Having established our stay in 2024, having reached this new year, who is directing your steps? Who is telling you which way to go? Psalms 32, is it verse 8, where the Bible says, I will show you in the way you should go. You're crossing over to the other side. Who is directing it? Let us cross over. Whether it's a change of plans, re-strategizing, rewriting your goals, whether it's planning to get married, whether to start a new job, whether to start a business, whether you are moving up in life, you are crossing over. But the Bible says it was evening. Maybe if this evening could mean a divorce for you. Maybe, just maybe, it may mean depression. It may mean being unborn again, not knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So as you cross over to the other side, you are saying, Jesus, come into my heart. Make me your son or your daughter. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Forgive me my sins. Write my name in the book of life. I am crossing over from the kingdom of darkness right into the kingdom of light, to a marvelous night light. I observe, I understand that you died for me on the cross. The blood that was shed on Calvary was for my atonement. Therefore, I receive you, Lord Jesus, Nkosu Jesu. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I receive you. I'm crossing over. That is you. That is you leaving the kingdom of darkness right into the kingdom of light. Won't you join us, Mtana Sekhaya, and cross over and become born again? Won't you just cross over to the other side? Earlier on, I mentioned depression. I mentioned divorce. There just may be unemployment. There might just be other dark evening positions that you are at right now. It's evening for you, but it's time to cross over. Invite Jesus Christ onto that boat. Look at the scenario in this verse, or in this whole chapter, this part, Mark 4:35, and as you go downwards. It's a scenario of Jesus Christ telling his disciples they should just cross over to the other side, and not forgetting that it was evening. In the very same evening, they were in the boat with Jesus Christ. And so it happens that uJesu slept. There was a cushion right in the middle of the sea, right inside a boat, cushioned his head, slept. As he was sleeping, a strong wind caused a wave, caused a havoc in the sea, caused ubunzima. The disciples got afraid. There was a storm right emanzini. Now the disciples woke Jesus up. Beze bebuza ukuthi aka why ulele whilst they are dying. On him waking up, he rebuked them. Where was their faith? What am I saying? You might be wondering, Fundis, what are you saying? Well, you are telling us about crossing over to the other side, but now you are explaining the whole story. But let's just think about it. As we have crossed over to the new year, as you have planned those goals, as you have moved from an old house to a new house, as you have moved from bed to better, as you have moved from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, as you have moved from, you know, whichever position, from better to best, as you have been moving, as you are moving, be reminded that the journey continues. They were in the sea, meaning the journey, the place they were at was volatile. Our minds are not really stable. It's not like the ground when there's soil and there's gravity. Your feet are securely stationed. When you walk on the ground, there's some assurance that you are able to, you are balanced. But it definitely, when it's you are in a boat, you are at the mercy of the boat to carry you, and water. Water, it's not soil. It's not the ground that can safely carry you if there's no substance that is carrying you within. So the boat is like the ground. The storm disturbed the stability of the boat. Hence, they were scared. What am I saying? In you and I crossing over to the other side, there's no assurity of balance. There's no assurity of tranquility. There's no assurity that things will go as well as planned. There is a possibility that storms may rage in Lelenyempilo. But what is the difference? What is the assurance here? The assurance is Jesus, who is in the boat. The assurance is that as you cross over to the other side, uhamba nobani, who are you with? Who are you walking with? As you cross over to a new job, a new home, to that marriage, who is your master? Is Jesus Christ your master? Because people who are married will tell you that there are storms in marriage. People who run businesses will tell you that there are storms in the workplace. Sometimes there's no business. Money does not come in. Clients, they disappoint you. People who have been depressed will tell you that it's not always green on the other side. Life has its up and downs, the storms in life. But the difference is, who are you with? In that position, uhamba nobani, uhleli nobani. When you have Jesus in your boat, no matter how raging the storm is, my sister and my brother, this is the assurance that you are safe. The Bible says when you call upon the name of Jesus, you are saved. They called him. He was with them right inside the boat. They called him. Tina, we received him as our Lord and Savior. We received him. And we received Jesus Christ to be Lord. He's in our hearts. The Holy Spirit lives in the inside of us. So we are able to call upon the name of Jesus, the name that is above every other name. When the storms of life, when they start to shake us, it's time to call on the name of Jesus. And yes, just like the disciples, some of us, or most of us, we find ourselves not having faith. There was a question that Jesus once asked or wondered, Huri, will he find faith emhlabeni? Because the reality of people, even including his disciples, time and again, they were found wanting as far as faith was concerned. You know, it is. You know, there are those instances in the Bible where Jesus Christ would say, this person has great faith. The people like Abo, the woman with the issue of blood, the centurion man, that lady who challenged Jesus to heal their child. And she even said, even the dogs, they get bread from the master's table. Then Jesus said, angaza ngabona ukholo lungaka. So meaning uthi, very few, or ngathi very few, let me not say very few, but there is that record in the Bible that if faith of abazalwane, it really becomes challenged. Look at when the book of Mark 11, when Jesus speaks about the issue of the fig tree, when we go straight to Mark 11, 24, when Jesus says, if we have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can tell a mountain to move. And prior to that, he was explaining to his disciples who were surprised that the fig tree, which Jesus Christ has cursed a day before, it had withered. The story was that Jesus Christ was hungry and they were on their way. And on a distance, he saw a fig tree. But the Bible also said it was not time for figs, but the tree did have leaves. So when he approached the tree, there were no fig trees. So Jesus Christ cursed the tree. That he let no man eat from you. So apparently the following day, they still passed the same tree, Bafundi Baga Jesu, together with Jesus. And one of the disciples noticed that the tree had withered. And he said, Rabbi, you know, then that is why when Jesus explained to him that if we have faith, you can tell a mountain to move, meaning that it's a requirement for us as born again Christians to have faith in God. Have faith at all times, because the Bible in Hebrews, it says faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It goes further in Romans when it says that if faith, it comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, meaning that the more you spend time with Jesus, meaning read the word of God, the more you spend time in prayer, the more you spend time in worship, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Faith, it empowers you. It makes you to be strong and stand in the word. So we sibantekente masabantu, we need healing in faith. We need to be empowered in your faith. So, as we cross over to the other side, the element of having faith is important. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And faith is being sure that what you hope for, you get, you receive. And it's a substance of things hoped for and an evidence of things not seen. You have not seen it yet. You hope for it, but you believe that you have it already. Hence, Jesus Christ was saying, if you have faith, you can tell a mountain to move. I'm reminded, this woman with the issue of blood comes to my heart again, my mind again. Look at the story in Mark 5, the story of the woman with the issue of blood. The Bible talks about this woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years. She was sick, had been having gone to all the doctors and spent all she had. And like she didn't like the she has used up her money to find healing for her bleeding for 12 years. But the Bible says when she heard about Jesus, she thought to herself, meaning that faith was injected in her heart when she heard about Jesus. Remember the disciples in the boat with Jesus evening? He says, let us cross over. Jesus being there in the boat, Jesus calming the storm, Jesus rebuking the disciples, Jesus talking about the issue of faith. Remember the fact that Jesus was with them. So this woman with the issue of blood hears about Jesus. She hears. Remember, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. She hears about Jesus. Then she thinks to herself, if I can only touch the hem of his garment, if I can only touch. She's not asking for much. In fact, she wasn't even thinking about introducing herself. Sometimes when I think about this scripture, I wonder if it was me, I would have wanted to be made known to Jesus. That was not her plea. That was not her plea. That was not her desire. All she wanted was to touch the hem of his garment. And that hem of his garment was touched because of faith. Faith in her heart, faith in what she heard, faith in what she thought, and then faith was followed by action. And as the Bible says so, pulled through her way through, because there were crowds of people surrounding Jesus, She had to find a way to get to his garment. And as she touched it, she touched the hem of his garment. For those people who are designers, the hem is right there, bottom, and near the feet, right there at the feet, down there. She really needed to touch the hem, not the collar, not the waist, not something up there for her to be seen. Right at the bottom, she touched the hem. And even at the bottom, the Bible says, virtue, power came out of him, came out of Jesus, meaning that the anointing, and immediately the woman received her healing. Immediately she was healed. Jesus, knowing that somebody had touched him, it was not the touch that his disciples were touching him and the crowds he was amongst. It was a touch of faith. Touch of faith. It was a touch of faith because he asked the question, who touched me? He realized, he knew that virtue, power had gone out of him. Because the Bible also tells us that this woman, her bleeding stopped immediately. Remember when Jesus said, if you have faith, you can tell a mountain to move. Remember, you can tell a mountain to move. Meaning, in a split second, faith can change situations. We are talking about crossing over. This woman was crossing over from sickness to health. Immediately, her bleeding stopped. Her bleeding stopped. And Jesus asked, who touched me? Then she got to reveal her identity, herself to him. Then Jesus said to her, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Faith makes us whole. So, as I conclude, let us remind one another, as we cross over, firstly, we need Jesus to be in our lives. Whether it's daytime or evening time. In this case, it was evening, Mark 4:35, when the disciples were crossing over. Crossing over happens all the time. We need Jesus in our boats. We need Jesus in our lives. And we also need to be still. We need him in our boat. We need to be still. We need to have faith. We need to have faith. We need to have faith. I don't know about you this year, but we do need these elements, these principles. We need Jesus. We need stillness in our hearts. We need faith. So, if you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, let me give you an opportunity to do so. Whether you're listening to the sound of my voice in America, in South Africa, in Asia, in the UK, whichever part of the world you are listening from, it's time that you give your life to Jesus. Because the Bible also clearly tells us that without him, we can do nothing. That is in John 15. Without him, we can do nothing. In Colossians, it tells us that all things were made by him, and all things hold together by him. We need him in our lives. My brother, my sister, my mother, my father, my uncle, my colleague. We need him in our lives. So please do this prayer. Say this prayer together with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I've heard that you loved us. I've heard that you died for us on the cross. I've heard that in you there is life. I ask right now, today, say, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. Make me your daughter, make me your child, make me your son. Come into my heart. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I reject sin. I reject the devil, the enemy, the evilness and darkness. I reject it. I'm crossing over to the kingdom of God. I receive you because you died for me. Please write my name in the book of life. Be my Lord and my Savior. I receive the love that you have. I receive the love that you have shown and that you are for me. Make me your daughter, and I thank you for being my Lord, and I thank you for receiving me unto the family of God. In your name, Jesus, amen. Let me pray for you. Let me just pray for you. If you have said this prayer together with me, let me just pray with you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for my sister, my brother, my mother, any person all over this world who has just received our Lord and Savior, who has just, Jesus said that you should come into their hearts. They are now born again. We pray, Lord, you walk with them, you train them, you be with them, teach them, Lord, as they read the word. May you enlighten their understanding. May they understand their identity in Christ. May they know that you have conquered on their behalf, and that they are more than conquerors through you, Lord Jesus. I pray, Father God, that the Holy Spirit indwelleth in them. I pray that, Lord, the glory of the Lord will be risen upon them, so that they know who they are throughout the year and throughout the years to come. I pray, Lord, not only for them, for their families. I pray, Lord, that they find churches that are Bible-based, that are Christ-centered, that are teaching you about you, that the churches that have you in their midst, that they are endowed in your presence every time. I pray, Lord, that they may never be lost as they have received you as their Lord and Savior. I thank you, Lord, that for the angelic endowment, the angelic help in their lives, as you've put it in Psalm 91, that you've sent your angels concerning them, concerning us, to guide us in all our ways. Lord, may your will be done in their lives. And as they have taken the journey, as they've taken the steps of knowing you as their Lord and Savior, I praise you and I worship you for the Lord, for the people that have received Christ this day, this hour, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen, my sisters, and I thank you for having received Jesus Christ, and I thank you for each and every one of us who is listening throughout the program. This is Pastor Nyoni signing off. Maybe I should just give out my WhatsApp number. If you need, you'd like to invite us for preaching sessions, the WhatsApp number, if you're in South Africa, is 084-6693-615, 084-6693-615. That is the WhatsApp number, but I think it also applies all over the world. This is Pastor Thandiwe Nyoni signing off from Uncede Prodigy. I thank you for your time. I thank you for your years. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, amen and amen. Bye-bye and God bless.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S., or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Amen. Well, greetings to you again from South Africa. This is your Destined for Glory program, where we receive the broken seals of God's revelation and exalting Jesus Christ, whom God exalted and gave the name that is above every other name. My name is Benjamin Kutswane, and we come into you today. We Finding My Way Radio. We continue to proclaim the blessing over every listener of Finding My Way Radio. And we thank God for Kayla Paget and the team at Finding My Way. We proclaim the blessing of the kingdom power of our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, as we go into our program, let's pray together. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come to you right now, believing you and knowing that you have appointed this day as the day that you have made for us to rejoice and be glad in. And Father, we come renouncing all familiarity and contempt and praying that let that which you have ordained from before the foundations of the world be made manifest with every life, even as we gather around to receive the broken seals of your word. Father, we pray for every listener right now. We pray for the revelation of Jesus Christ. We pray that Christ be formed in the heart. We pray that the revelation of salvation be released, oh Father, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you right now as we pray for the authorities and those that are in power. For you said in your word, when we pray for them, we shall live of a peaceable life. So we pray for the authorities. We pray for the rulers, the presidents, and the leaders of the nations. For you have ordained the domains of governance, O Father. And therefore, we call forth your goodness. We call forth the seed of your word with which you have created these domains. In the name of Jesus, we call it forth and proclaim your breakthrough blessing. In spirit, in soul, in body, in character, and in material. And by faith we receive the manifestation of your glory to cover the earth, even as the waters cover the sea. In the name of Jesus, Father, let your glory break every limitation in every life. In the name of Jesus, we thank you and we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, even as we pray, dear listener, we are praying in the faith that God created all things by his word. Right from Genesis 1 and verse 1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Note that when it says God created the heavens and the earth, it means God's seed, which is the seed of his word, is in everything that is occupying in the heavens and in the earth. And therefore, we are able now to access a new dimension of prayer. I can assure you, we are entering the final plane of destiny as regards the prayer, even the prayer of intercession. It's going to be joy to pray. It's going to be a refreshing to pray again. You know why? Because it's no longer going to be like we are trying to impregnate anything that we are praying into, but everything that God created, he has impregnated with his seed. The seed of God releases expectancy. Yes, the seed of God releases expectancy. And that's why, therefore, we have been brought to the place where the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 19 that all of creation is travailing, is groaning, and is travailing for the manifestation of the sons of God. And when we read it, let's begin it in Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. It says here, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory, note, which shall be revealed, which shall be revealed. Now, you must understand, this creation was not only made expectant after the fall of man. No, there was a pure expectancy that was released in creation before the fall. A pure expectancy in that God created the heavens and the earth by his word. And when he called it into being, his word is the seed. And the seed of God releases expectancy in creation, which means that God created the heavens and the earth to do what? To bring forth his goodness, to bring forth his glory. Yes, he appointed it unto his glory because he appointed it by his his very word. So before the fall of man, God impregnated all of creation with his seed, which is his word. Therefore, we know that all is destined for the glory of God. Even if the fall came, creation was already impregnated by the word of God. And now we know, even from 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, that we have been born again by the incorruptible seed of the word of God. And I want you to know with me that the incorruptibility of the word of God did not begin only after the fall, neither did it begin after the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. No, the incorruptibility of the word of God began from the beginning. Why? Because even from before the foundations of the world, God predestined us to be blameless and holy. That's Ephesians chapter 1. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 and 4, we have been predestined to be blameless and holy before the foundations of the world, which means God, in his sovereignty and holiness, he has already prepared everything and predestined everything unto goodness. So creation was called into being by the incorruptible seed of the word of God. That's right. Which means all of the earth, all of the heavens is full of the seed of the word of God. And therefore, you and I are called, therefore, to expect from God to bring forth. So why do I say to you, prayer is going to be an exciting thing? It is because now our prayers of intercession is about to be turned into the harvesting tool, wherein we are now going to harvest the fruit of the seed of God. Yes. When we pray, it is no longer going to be our effort, our might and power. I was saying to others, there is a movie called The War Room. I have not yet seen the movie, but I know and understand that it speaks about the prayer, even the prayer of intercession and warfare. But I want you to understand, the flip side of the war room is the birth room. Yes, the birthing room, the room that gives life, which means when we speak about the war room, it's not going to be in a sense where our carnal self will feel that I have made war and I have waged war. No, it's going to be with the flip side of the bathroom, where it is now a refreshing of knowing that life is coming from. Why? Because everything God spoke into, he spoke life into it. He spoke life into creation. So when we follow it through, we can go to Psalms chapter 19. In the book of Psalms chapter 19, therefore, we read that all the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. The firmament, they speak forth his word. They utter his word. Which word is the heavens and the firmament uttering? They are uttering the word with which they have been impregnated. When God created everything, he put his word in it. All right? And then we go to Psalm 24 again. In Psalm 24, he says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, which means that God has established again the earth and the fullness thereof, the world and those that be therein. He has established it by his word. Now, today, I want you to appreciate in your spirit that this word is not just an ordinary word. It is the seed of God. It is the life-giving seed of God. It is the birthing seed of God. It is the fruitful seed of God. And because it is the fruitful seed of God, our prayers of intercession are about to be raised as the intercessory harvesting tool. No more like it is our might and power. No more like we need to die again as we pray. No, he has already died, and he who died is already interceding for us. And guess what? Jesus makes intercession for us at the right hand side of the Father. Why is he doing that? Because in us is the seed of God. So Jesus is putting again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, which means the reason why Jesus is interceding for the church, it is because the church has been impregnated. The church has been made to be the expectant place where heaven can expect joy. Hallelujah. Heaven expects joy out of us. Heaven expects breakthrough out of us. That's why, therefore, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10, the Bible says, we have the mystery of salvation to this intent, that to the principalities and powers and to the angelic realm, that there may be revealed the manifold wisdom of God by the church. Yes, Jesus interceding is expectant. The heaven is expectant. The angelic realms, the heavenly host is expectant of what? Of the manifold wisdom of God to be revealed, underlined, by the church, which means the church is the impregnated place with the seed of the Word of God, so that out of the church, Jesus can harvest this manifold wisdom of God, even unto the angelic and the powers in the realms of the heavenly host. Hallelujah. This is awesome. This says to us, it is not time to give up in prayer. Let's go on as we read Romans chapter 8. It says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Why is this word coming forth? This word is coming forth to say, remember verse 1 of Romans 8, that there is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. And therefore, it means in us, we don't have to give in to condemnation. Why? Because whatever we go through in this present time is not worth, it's not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So don't give up, my brother. Don't give up, my sister. I don't know what you might be going through in this moment, but I know these are testing times. These are stormy times. Remember where we ended up, even as we shared in time past, that this is the time not to see what you see, but it is a time to see what he says. When you look at the storms that you are going through, don't see what you see, but see what he says. Remember when Jesus was with his disciples in the boat and the storms arose. When the storms arose, they got confused because Jesus was resting at the bottom of the boat. And when they called upon him, he came and silenced the storm. But note that they were even filled with stormy thoughts. Why? Because they saw what they saw instead of seeing what he said. Because when the journey began, Jesus had said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now that's the word that they were supposed to see. But instead of seeing what he says, they saw what their eyes saw. And when they saw what their eyes saw, they saw the storms. And even their thinking, even their belief, even their minds became like the storm. How so? Remember the words that they said to him. They said to Jesus, don't you care that we perish? Don't you care that we're about to die in the storms? Now, they are talking to life himself. They are talking to the man who organized the cruise, the man who said, let us cross over to the other side. And they are complaining to him with the mind filled with what their eyes is seeing. And I hear in this season where God is saying, don't see what you see, but see what God says. Yes, don't see what you see. See what God says. Why? Because we are not called to walk by sight. What you allow to come in through your eyes can easily corrupt and cause a storm in your faith, a contamination of your faith through the storm. come to the point that you can even turn against God and turn against your Savior and look at him and say that he does not care. Now, there is no carelessness about God. There can never be any carelessness about Jesus. But what was causing them to do that is because they chose to see what they see instead of seeing what he said. And guess what? When he rose up, he did not even see the storm. He spoke the word again and said, "Peace, be still." And they continued to wonder as to what manner of man is this, that even the seas obey. This is where God is calling us to, that we know that the suffering of this present time cannot be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. Yes, this is the transfiguration moment of our prayer. This is where God is bringing us to a place of being transfigured in our prayer, where we know that we are no longer just praying with might and power, but no, we are harvesting that which has been impregnated by the seed of the Word of God. The Word of God is the fruitful seed, is the incorruptible seed that cannot return unto him void. Remember, in Isaiah chapter 55, and he says, the word of God will never return unto him void without accomplishing that which he has purposed. He says, as rain comes to the ground and never goes up, his word comes through and accomplishes its purpose. And therefore, we know that the word of God is a purposeful, fruitful seed into everything that he sends it into. So now our prayers are called to change, where we say, bring forth the harvest of God. Bring forth that which God has impregnated you with. We speak to everything in the earth and we command it to bring forth. Why? Because whatever we go through cannot be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. In verse 19, then he says, this is the one we open up with. He says, for the earth, the earnest expectation, there it is. Why expectation? Because the word of God is the impregnating seed that brings forth or that stirs up expectancy, and that says it's not over until God's word brings forth fruit. Yes, you heard it today. It's not over until the seed of God's word brings forth fruit. Why? Because the devil might be saying to you and I, give up now. But God is saying, no, I have written in my word, as long as the earth remains, there will be seed, time, and harvest. Oh, yes, seed, time, and harvest. God spoke the word in the beginning. That word is the seed. Now we are in the time, which means that this is a time of expectancy. This is the time of expectation. This is the time of long suffering. This is the time of waiting on God. And if that is the time, it is the time of waiting on God. How do we wait on God? The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So this is the time of giving God his pleasure by believing him. Why? That the seed was there and time will be filled up with what? With my faith that chooses to please God. I choose to believe God. I choose to believe his word. I choose to believe his seed. I choose to believe that his seed will not be aborted. I choose to believe that his seed is incorruptible seed, and it shall bring forth what heaven had conceived when the seed was released. So the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly wait for the revealing of the sons of God. That's right. Why? Because the sons of God are the carriers of the ultimate glory that has to bring and fulfill the hope of all creation. Listen to what it says so that we'll understand it. It says, for creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. God subjected all of creation in hope. Why hope? Because in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, he gave man his glory. He allowed man, Adam, his glory. So Adam was the carrier of God's glory. So when the fall came, all of creation was looking up to the glory of God that was in the first son or the first Adam. And when it looked unto him, it saw the glory of God because God created him and gave him dominion and said, all of these things, look up to this. This is my image. This is my likeness. And in Adam was the glory of God. So when man fell, it's like the glory of God went down on the Son of Man. And that's why creation is being promised right now by the Word of God that it is eagerly waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. How will the sons of God be manifested? It is time that you and I know that the sons of God shall be manifested as those that are born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. What is the seed of the Word of God whereby we have to be born again? This is the seed. In the book of John, chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This Word is Jesus Christ, who has become the ultimate seed of God, that has come to restore the glory of God, that has come for the revealing of the glory of God through all those that will receive him. For the Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 12, as many as received him, even as believed on his name, he gave them the right to be called the sons of God, all the children of God. And he goes on to say, they are not born of the will of man, but they are born of the power or the will of God. And therefore God is saying to you and I, you are the carrier of God's glory that all of creation is awaiting and is expectant of. Why? Because God has impregnated everything in creation by his word. So your prayer right now, I speak the refreshing in your prayer as a child of God, and I speak the revelation of the true Christ to you who have not yet received Jesus, that know that this is all about Jesus Christ. And as a child of God, arise knowing that it's your time to manifest the glory of the Father, and your prayer now, receive the fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit, glorifying Jesus as a sickle of harvest, going into everything that God has impregnated with his word. We shall pray for the rulers. Why? Because it is God who impregnated the domain of rulership with his word. We shall pray even for our bodies. Why? Because it is God who has appointed for us to be the temples of the Holy Spirit. So we pray knowing that everything is having the word of God impregnating it. So our prayer is more of the harvest of God right now. So receive it for your life. Stand in the faith. Stretch out the sickle of intercession. Bring in the harvest in the name of Jesus. There is harvest for your body. There is harvest for your spirit and your soul. There is harvest for your material possession. There is harvest for your relationship. And it is all because of the revelation of Jesus Christ. So God richly bless you as you continue knowing that it's time to keep expectant and putting in the sickle of prayer to harvest the goodness of the Lord, because we are born again to come into the goodness of God. In Jesus' name, receive it. You are appointed unto goodness. Breakthrough is yours through his incorruptible seed of the word. God will bless you until we meet again in destined for glory. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Kingdom blessings around the world. Greetings, shalom. I bring you greetings of peace and joy in our Lord Yeshua HaMashiach. This is The Real Dr. Rich. Welcome to Candid Conversations. It's been a long time. Let me just take a brief moment to pray and to say a very special thank you to CEO Kayla Finding My Way Paget. Thank you so much, you and your staff, and greetings around the world. Father Yahuwah, thank you for this day that you have made. I am rejoicing and I'm glad in it. Thank you, Father, for your tender grace and your sweet mercies. Your favor follows me, Father, and I thank you so much for the opportunity to preach and minister the gospel, Father, according to your divine will. I thank you also, Father, for the many people, the many lives that Finding My Way Radio has touched, not only through Candid Conversations, but through various broadcasts, Father, by your sons and your daughters. I plead the blood of our Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach, over those who listen, Father, and not only those, but those who are attached divinely through their kingdom acceptance of your Son, who is the propitiation for our sins. I thank you, Father, for the angels whom we have dispatched, because you have given us authority to dispatch angels, Father, to not only do war on our behalf, but to minister to those who are lost, Father, in this world. Those may be family members by blood, Father, or kingdom members who have yet to accept your Son. We say thank you, Father. Thank you for the liberty to minister your truth, for you are truth, Father. You are the only truth that we truly know, Father. You, Father, are truth. So we thank you again for the Finding My Way team. Thank you so much. In Yeshua's name we pray. Okay, so we're in a new month. This is the month of October, and I'm so thankful because the number 10 represents so much. And the first thing that I want to tackle today on Candid Conversations, because no topic is taboo, it is, yes, I'm going to have to put it out here, is our obedience and our thoughts concerning the Ten Commandments. Yes. The Ten Commandments. Although we are now under grace and truth, which many denominations preach. Many denominations, and let me say this, let me do a disclaimer. It is not that Yeshua himself came for denominations. No, he came for the kingdom of his Father, to set the kingdom in order here in earth. The kingdom, that is our prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It's not about us and what we deem is right or wrong, but it's about setting his kingdom in order. And it starts first with ourselves. It begins with us. As you can remember, in the book of Romans, chapter 12, it was the Apostle Paul, and I'm laughing because I love the Apostle Paul, but it was the Apostle Paul who spoke these words. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Yahuwah God. Yes, listen, Yahuwah God. We're calling him by his name, Yahuwah. And this is the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Don't let me calling him Yahuwah mess you up. I am telling you right now that when I say Yahuwah, it's almost like us being in a room, and if you're a parent, a child saying mom or dad, and you know, you may know your child's voice, but if the room is noisy, it's better, you know, sometimes to specify, use with specificity, that particular parent's name. And so I want to call him Yahuwah. Some of us choose to call him Elohim, and that's great. I just don't like to just use a general terminology saying God, because he means so much to me. He is my father. He's my personal father. He is, you know, my creator. He fashioned me. He knew me before I was fashioned in my mother's womb. But again, Paul says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Yahuwah God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. While you're living, present your body as a sacrifice. Do that which is pleasing to him. It's not about man, because if we please him, then yes, there will be people who are pleased and people who will recognize our testimonies, people who will accept our testimonies as untainted. Of course, we all have past, but what I'm referring more so to is us being able to practice and to live what we're actually saying with our mouths. So Paul goes on to say, a living sacrifice, holy. Yeah, there's that word, holy. And you and I both know the definition. Even if we don't know it verbatim, we know what holy means. And we can only be made right through Yeshua, our Savior. So holy or holiness refers to dedicated, consecrated to Yahuwah God, or a religious purpose. It's sacred. By holy. Let me put a sticky note right here. I want to encourage us. This is not a moment of judgment more than it is a moment of encouragement or exhortation. I want us to remember that we can't always look at other quote-unquote Christians or believers to set the tone for our actions and our behaviors. We alone are responsible for our own actions and our own decisions, the way that we live. And we find the way that we should live in his word. And so, you know, when it comes down to holiness, don't allow someone else to define what holiness is. You know what dedicated or consecrated to Yahuwah God or a religious purpose, meaning sacred, means. We know it's hallowed, it's sanctified, divine, you know, blessed, dedicated. And just because other Christians or believers find it okay to defile the temple. And I'm going to get a little touchy right here, but, you know, this is a new month, and he's loaded us with new benefits, new mercies in this new day, this new month, this new season. We're in a new season, people. We have 3 months, 3 months, according to his will. If it be his will, we have 3 months. But if we don't have those 3 months, if it's not allotted to us, we have today, right now, to take his word seriously, to get things right, to be made righteous, to be brought back in right standing through Yeshua, HaMashiach. So holiness, let's see. Paul says a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto Yahuwah. So not only do we need to strive to read the word and to conduct ourselves accordingly. Listen, I understand that sin touches us all. However, his word touches us as well. His word is what changes us. His word is life. His word transforms us. His word gets our minds redirected when we're unfocused or distracted. Listen, let me tell you this. I understand. I'm not preaching as though, like Paul also said, as though I'd already arrived. I am a work in progress. But one thing that I don't do, I don't offer excuses. I seek my Yahuwah, my Father, for forgiveness. I am accountable for my own actions. And when Paul admonishes us to present ourselves as living sacrifices, holy, acceptable unto Yahuwah. Meaning, you know, the world may accept it, but does Yahuwah God accept it? And I'm going to get a little touchy because I'm going to tell you, I've seen some of us be so worried and so bogged down with the cares of this world that drinking is a vice to calm us down, smoking, shopping, overeating, all of these things become more beneficial in the moment of trying to find peace than does the word, than does his power. Because with man, things may be impossible, but with him, all things are possible. And please know, I do understand heaviness. I do understand being weighed down in your spirit. I do understand that when the trials of life come up against us, I do understand that life hacks happen, and you know, sometimes we're at our wit's end. It can be because of marital issues. It can come about through our children. It can come about through our jobs or our careers or just feeling inadequate. But I want to admonish you today to know that he is our answer. Everything that we need, every issue that we may experience is recorded in the word, and we have history to also corroborate the word. Yes, we do. History, facts to, you know, demonstrate these truths. And I want to tell you, I don't offer excuses. You know, that's a way that we show our vulnerability. We don't want to be honest with ourselves. We don't want to be responsible or accountable for the decisions and the choices that we've made. But I want to tell you that Paul had something going special when he said, which is our reasonable service, meaning this is the least that we can do. This is what we should do. I mean, he's saying it's not much. This is the foundation. This is the bare minimum. This is the lowest form that we can go. And what we're saying is, what Paul was saying is, do this, you know. And he goes on and uses a conjunction and says in verse 2 of Romans chapter 12, and be not conformed to this world. Yes, and let's not look at the world as only being worldly people or people who have yet to accept Yeshua HaMashiach, because there are some worldly, quote-unquote, Christians. There are some carnal, quote-unquote, Christians who believe it's okay to, and listen, again, I am not trying to judge, but this is candid conversations where no topic is taboo. So let's discuss it. Let's discuss why we want to be okay with calling on his name and praising him and saying how good he is to us while yet trusting in our flesh, because there's no good thing in the flesh. Paul also said that. He said when he would do good, evil is present, and that he would do, he does it not. I'm not quoting verbatim, but I'm going to tell you this. That was not an excuse. Paul is just showing us, allowing us to see his transparency. He wants you to know that, yes, he's a great man after Yahuwah God, after his conversion on the Damascus Road. Yes, he preached the word. Yes, he brought many in to the kingdom. However, he's saying that on his best day, his flesh tends to rise up. And that's similar to some of us. However, he's also admonishing us not to be conformed to this world or this world's ideologies, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. We have to renew our minds. Listen, with social media, with all that's on television and radio and what we're seeing in the world, even if we don't watch television, it's enough to contaminate us. So, yes, we have to be mindful that it's a great opportunity to go into our prayer room. Sometimes we're just so tired. We're just so overwhelmed with the cares of this world. With family life, with work life, with our various organizations and, you know, community activism and all of these things. But it's imperative. and we renew our minds. And the only way we can renew our minds is in His Word. It's in His Word. We have to open His Word. We have to allow the Word to not only encourage us, but to bring correction and conviction. I didn't say condemnation. I said correction and conviction. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. I'm telling you. Paul also says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of Yahuwah. See, there's a perfect will, I believe, and there's a permissive will. Yes, it's always ideal for the believer to be in Yahuwah God's perfect will. And we cannot be in His perfect will if we're not in His Word. In His Word, where we find truth, where we find life, where we find correction, where we find what we need to make it throughout the day. Yes, I'm telling you, Paul hit something on the head when he said that. And as I began my candid conversations today with you, I began with the reference to the number 10 and what that means biblically. And it means completion. Yes, it means perfection and completion. So I wanted to discuss, as I mentioned, the Ten Commandments, although we all are presently under grace. Yes, we are. And so many denominations make sure that we push and promote that. But today on Candid Conversations, not only am I pushing grace, because His grace definitely flows before us. Yes, yes. And His favor follows us. And I thank you, Yahuwah. However, let me read just a few. Let me remind you of the Ten Commandments. I am the Lord thy God, Yahuwah. So that's the first commandment. And then, he goes to say, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Yes. Number two, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Number three, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord Yahuwah God in vain. Yes. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Yes, I'm going to expound on that a little bit more in another candid conversation, but please know that Dr. Rich is absolutely excited about the Sabbath, about taking that day specifically to meditate more intentionally. Yes, I worship on every day. 7 days I take to worship Him because He allows me to see that particular day. Yes, I take time to pray early in the morning, where I used to have a challenge, you know, rising, because I would go to bed so late, like 1 and 2, and it would be a challenge to get up at 5:15 to be in the prayer, but I committed to that thing. I said to Yahuwah God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that I would rise early and allow Him to set my day, because you know what? He's that kind of good Yahuwah God. He doesn't force Himself on me. He sends reminders. He's the best reminder. Yes, He is. And so I've had to be more intentional. And that Sabbath day, just taking that day to not be in a rush to do all of these things that I used to do, I actually am in a peaceful state on the Sabbath. And that Sabbath day, to me, as you listen around the world, is Saturday. That's the day that I have reconditioned my mind. And in no way am I going to be dogmatic in my approach with you with that. But just think on it and meditate. It's good for me not to be in the salon or in the shopping centers or doing some other things that takes up a lot of my time, but to actually set that time aside to intentionally praise Him, to worship Him, to study His Word more intricately and more intimately. Yes. So, I love that. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And this is not just Old Testament. That particular commandment is also found in New Testament. There's reference to that by our Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach. And I may say Hamashiach or Hamashiach, just depends on how I feel, but please know that there's this tomato and tomato. Thank you again. Number five, honor thy father and thy mother. And for a lot of us, that may be challenging, not because we're reprobate, not because we're sinners or because we're carnal Christians, but just because our parents want to take the place of Yahuwah God. Listen, that is a very sensitive subject for me as a parent and as a daughter. It is wise to those of us who will allow Yahuwah to give us wisdom, to give us wisdom. It is wise for us to understand, to comprehend fully that there is danger in usurping or attempting to usurp Yahuwah's authority and his role in our children's lives. It was Satan who first attempted to usurp Yahuwah's authority. That's one reason. That is the main reason he was forced out and kicked out, if I may use that terminology. He was kicked out of the heaven as the primary worshiper, the lead Lucifer. Yes, he was the lead praise and worship angel, and because he attempted to do that. But I'm going to tell you, there is a way, and there are ways for us to continue to honor our father and our fathers and our mothers, our earthly fathers and mothers, as kingdom people, as kingdom sons and daughters. There's a way that we can respect and honor them in love as we perfect our love walk. Those who maybe addicted to drugs, those who may have been pedophiles, those who maybe have been blasphemers or haters of the kingdom and our Heavenly Father. So, yes, there's still this is still good. Let me tell you, it does us good not to try to dismiss the Ten Commandments. Let's continue to honor our fathers and our mothers. Thou shalt not kill. You know, there are laws in this land to deal with those of us who. So are you following me? You know, many of us say we can dismiss this, or Yeshua came and fulfilled the law. And okay, let's say he did. But when you're disobeying the laws of the land and you kill someone, what is your consequence? What are your consequences? So it would behoove us to still implore these, to still apply these and implement them into our daily lives. Let's not kill, even with our tongues, kingdom brothers and sisters. Let's not kill others and assassinate them with the anger of our tongues because they've hurt us in some way. Let's not speak evil of them. Let's pray for them. It's one thing to attack a person physically, but when we attack them verbally, as believers, what does that say about our Father? What, more specifically, what does that say about you while you're wearing his name? Okay, thou shalt not commit adultery. Yes, don't commit adultery. That is someone's husband. That is someone's wife. Those are someone's spouses. So, continue to apply this to number 10. Thou shalt not steal. Again, there are laws in the land. If you're caught stealing, there are going to be consequences. There are penalties to pay. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet. Oh, that is a huge one. So many of us covet what our kingdom brothers, kingdom sisters, and even worldly individuals have possessed, whether that's a big, nice home, the finest of vehicles, beautiful children, beautiful faces, hair, lips, bodies, physiques, figures, whatever it is, we shouldn't covet. And I'm going to give you a special tip for all of these once I finish them. Thou shalt not covet. Yes, yes, yes. I fed them, and I'm excited about this. So let me give you this tip. The way that we can implement these without thinking too hard about it or without it being such a chore is to just basically develop our relationship with Yeshua. I'm telling you, he will lead us. He will guide us in the form of the Holy Spirit. When we're going astray, when we're becoming too distracted, he'll speak to us. He'll allow us to be. Listen, he'll allow us to feel a little uncomfortable in our actions and in our words. He will cause us to acknowledge and to become accountable for what we say, what we think. Yes, even what we think and what we do. I am so excited, so thankful that you've joined me on this Candid Conversations. Remember, Candid Conversations, where no topic is taboo. I'm excited about you. I want to say a prayer. Father, thank you for the readers, hearers, and especially the doers of your word. We thank you for CEO Kayla Padgett, her entire staff, and all of our kingdom brothers and sisters around the world. Thank you for the sponsors, Father, especially Ewing Moving and Storage. Congratulations on what Yahuwah has done in enlarging your territory here in the earth. Until next time, I ask that you would listen to Ministry Moments with Apostle Cedric and Dr. C. Denise Richardson every other Saturday, and Story Time with Princess Leah Camille every other Saturday at 12:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Kingdom blessings around the world. Amen.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.